blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 259, stanzas 3 and 4. Vain are the heathen gods, idols and helpless. God made the heavens, and his glory they tell. Honor and majesty shine out before him, beauty and strength in his temple dwell. 3 and 4 of Psalter 259.
Thank you. Scripture reading for this afternoon you can find in the book of Judges, chapter 6, beginning with the 11th verse. But first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Judges 6, beginning by verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us, and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him, and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in, and made ready a kid, and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and brought it out unto him under the oak, and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock, and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord, and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it. And build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove, which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, Who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, Bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, Will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death, whilst it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Therefore on that day he called him Jerubbabel, saying, Let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar thus far.
We hope to remember in prayer Destiny Slingerland, who broke both of her ankles and had to have surgery in Calgary. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, that thou may indeed remember her in all the pain and in all the suffering and in all the recovery that needs to take place. For there was no suffering when thou didst create our bodies, when thou didst make us in paradise, when there was no sin. And then there was no pain and no suffering. And now it has become so different. But thou who hast made the body, and thou also can heal the body, wilt thou bless the means that are used, therefore, the physicians and all that are about her, and wilt thou help her and give her a saving impression in her, a young heart, and that she might see and feel, and that this life can be cut off in a moment, and that thou hast yet spared her young life, and that thou may plant that tender fear of thy name in her young heart. Or wilt thou heal? Remember our own daughter-in-law, who yet attempts to recover, Lord, wilt thou help her also, and all that are about her, and wilt thou supply for all the needy ones in the midst of the congregation and relatives, those in hospitals, those receiving treatments for the mind and for the body. For we have become such weak and frail creatures. We do not feel it so often when we are young. But thou can make us to feel it in a moment, that we might be given faith, true saving faith, to believe thy holy word that declares it unto us, our weakness and our frailty, and that we have but a short moment here upon this earth, a time to be born and a time to die. Oh, bind it upon the heart of each and every one of us, both young and old, especially the children and the young people, when thou dost so often begin thy own work in the days of youth. Oh, that thou mayest take their hearts, and wilt thou give a renewal in their hearts, a regeneration, to draw their hearts, that they may see the vanity, they may see the sin, and that lives in those hearts, and that they may desire to turn therefrom. Remember fathers and mothers and the great responsibility that is laid upon us when our children are in the days of their youth, and when there is to be an influence upon our children, then we are so accountable for what we are and for what we do and for what we show unto them. Oh, that Thou mayst convert them, O Lord, despite us, and that Thou mayst remember all those grandparents also that do climb in years. Give a pleading at Thy throne of grace, not only for ourselves, but also for our seed and all those that are not married, those that have no children. Remember in Thy mercy, for Thou givest to everyone a purpose here below, and Thou hast a purpose in all that Thou doest. And wilt Thou give us to end in Thee with all things. Thou givest us a Sabbath day again, and when we may be privileged to lay aside all the labors of our hands in this world. When Thou callest us to meditate upon Thee, upon where we have come from and upon where that we are going, our short journey between the cradle and the grave. Oh, give to us a solemn impression in our hearts, and by the power of Thy most Holy Spirit, that Thou wouldest come, O Lord, from above and break our hard and stony and carnal and worldly hearts, that we may have the tender fear of Thee planted in our hearts, and that we may so walk in the midst of one another in true brotherly love, and that Thou may give us to be true and to be faithful with one another, that we may seek the true welfare of the souls of one another as we go through this world. And do remember us also in these days when we think of all that Thou hast done for us in the days of the Reformation. So many years ago now already, that Thou hast delivered us from that great and anti-Christian power. And when Thou hast given through the shedding of much blood, that men may be delivered from false doctrine, or that Thou mayst keep us in Thy mercy. For we do not deserve, but Thou hast given unto us, but Thou hast made us also as watchmen upon the walls of Zion, that Thy truth may be preserved yet also forward for ourselves and for our children, and that we may be given wisdom, therefore, so and courage to stand for Thy truth on every side, that Thou mayst arise for the meek of the earth, as we can read it in Thy holy word. But wilt Thou also deliver us from that Antichrist that lives in our hearts? For Thou knowest all that he does there. And then we need to be delivered from ourselves and from a broken covenant wherein we think that we are not so fallen and so deeply fallen as we truly are, to be dead in sins and in trespasses, and that we are still able to do some good, and that we can merit with Thee, O Lord. Then it must be broken down in each and every one of our hearts, that we might become truly a sinner before God, and that we may cry out in the midst of that pit that we have brought ourselves into, that we may cry out in our great need in a godly sorrow, that thou wouldest deliver us from all our iniquities, not only that which comes forth out of us, out of our mouths and out of our lives, but also what is so hidden from others and that lives within our hearts. O Lord, that thou may give that true godly sorrow in our hearts, for thou callest us continually to reform, but thou must give regeneration, then it will be a fruit that flows out of it. And then alone can it be true and right before thee, lest we would return as a dog to the vomit and as a sow to her wallowing in the mire. O Lord, that thou wouldest work from above, as thou alone art able to do, and that thou mayest keep us from having a name to live and being dead. Oh, that we may be given by an honest dealing by thy Holy Spirit that does uncover the depth of our corruption and our sin, and that we may be truly given to smite upon our breasts, O Lord, that we might cry out, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner, and that we may become so each and every one. And wilt thou glorify thy dear and only begotten Son? Oh, he is dear to thee, Lord. Make him dear also unto us. As we can read it, thou doest it unto thy people in thy holy word, to say that he is altogether lovely, and that he is the chiefest among 10,000, and that others may come and say, what is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? O Lord, then something will go out of the savor of thee from us, and that others may also run after thee, that thou mayest remember us, O Lord, in the days in which we are living with our dear children. And wilt thou help us also to bow under thee, under thy truth, and that thou may remember us also as a congregation, for thou knowest all that has taken place, also the classes that has met. And Lord, thou knowest that we have had disagreements with one another here in our own congregation, and then they have been brought unto the classes. But Lord, thou knowest all things now, and that thou mayest remember us, and that thou mayest join us together around thy holy word of truth, that we may be given to bow before thee, and that thou mayest give unto us true love for one another, and that thou mayest forgive and take away all of our many, many sins. Give us wisdom as thy servant. Give us all together to look for the welfare of one another as we travel to that great and never-ending eternity. Oh, that we may be given to see that we have but a short time here below, where we will have to lay one another in the grave. Oh, Lord, that we may truly be reconciled to one another before that we have to die and before that we have to meet thee. Remember us then, O Lord, as a congregation and as a people, that thou alone art able to bow our hearts before thee, and then it shall be well with thee, and it shall be well with one another. O give to us that true humility, and do forgive and take away all of our many, many sins. Wilt thou be with all those that rule and reign over us? Wilt thou give strength from above for the great labors, the responsibilities, the tasks, the obligations that thou hast placed upon them, that we take so often so for granted? But Lord, then they have a weight that is lying upon them. Give them also to feel that weight, and that they may rule according to thy holy word, and that thou mayest bring us back in a way of reformation in our countries wherein we are, where at one time thy name was acknowledged publicly, even by those that rule and reign over us. O Lord, wilt thou give it again? O give us much prayer for this. And because we can read it in that portion that we have read together, O Lord, that we're able to do it today also. O then bind it upon our hearts, and that we might ask great things of thee who has great power and who has such a great heart also for thy own people. And that thou mayest yet put away the evils that are in the midst of our land, and that our children and growing generation will have to fight against. Give them strength, therefore. Remember all those that bring thy word. Increase their number, O Lord. And that thou mayest give also unto the vacant congregations, those that may go in and out amongst them. And wilt thou care for us in this hour, O Lord? Help us to bring thy word. Help us. Give us thy spirit in a rich measure. Give to us the ability to lay it out in a clear way to the understanding of both young and old. But wilt thou speak a word through our mouth as thou hast promised us, and that we may be a little instrument in thy holy fingers for the conversion of souls in our midst. Do help us then, be with us feelingly and believingly in this hour, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter number 49, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. The ends of all the earth shall hear and turn unto the Lord in fear. All kindreds of the earth shall own and worship Him as God alone. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 49. Beloved congregation, tomorrow, the Lord willing, is a Reformation Day. Then, boys and girls, you will see some of you that may live in the town. Then you will see also other children. And then they are doing what your mother and father will not allow you to do. And when they will go from house to house, and when they will be dressed in a way that a boy and a girl should not be dressed in, because the Lord has not made you into such creatures as they will dress up to be, but the Lord has created you as a human being, very, very high above all the animals and even the spirits, that you have a body that a spirit does not have, as the angels, and they are ministering spirits. You are a human being, and then you must be only who that the Lord has made you, and acknowledge the Lord for what He has made you. I hope that you are never jealous, but that you look with pity around you on all those that are without the knowledge of the true God. Do you ever think in your heart what the Lord has given unto you and what the Lord has withheld from other persons? Oh, then we have so much to acknowledge the Lord for. And then also in a time when we do commemorate the Reformation. Why was that Reformation necessary? Well, it was very necessary because man is one that strays away from the Lord. And at that time, by 500 years ago, then man had strayed very, very far away from the Lord. And even the very Church of God. That is nothing new, because we can see that in the Bible. We see that in the world, man does stray so far from the Lord. We can see that already in the time of the first world, so that the Lord, He calls them the sons of men, the daughters and the sons of men, as opposed to the sons of God, the descendants of Cain, how that they have left the truth of their father Adam, and they have gone further and further into the service of the world and against the commandments of the Lord. And so the Lord had to bring a great flood in His judgment to destroy every living creature that was upon the earth. You read it again in the time of Lot, Sodom, Gomorrah. And we know that we are also living in such times. They are bad times now, but they were bad times then also. And it is not only in the midst of the world, but it is also in the midst of the church. Because we can read that Jeremiah, he wrote a book called Lamentations, the Lamentations of Jeremiah. And what is it? It is a weeping because of the departure from the truth of God. That is what man does. And when man departs, man is not able to bring himself back again. Do we ever feel that? Oh, indeed, we can have some kind of a semblance of a reformation, and we ought to. But if it does not proceed out of our heart, then it will never last. No, a reformation that actually comes from above when it is right and when it is true. That is what the Lord has worked in the hearts of the men before the Reformation and the men of the Reformation. And then the Lord gives his truth to continue even until this very day. Oh, how much do we appreciate all that the Lord has given unto us. We wish to consider that a little more in this hour. Out of the words of our text, Judges 6, and there are verses 25 and 26. Judges 6, verses 25 and 26. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock, in the ordered place, and take the second bullock, and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove, which thou shalt cut down. So far the words of our text. Gideon's reformation in Israel. First, the necessity of this reformation. Second, the resistance to this reformation. And third, the influence of this reformation, Gideon's reformation in Israel. First, the necessity of it. Second, the resistance to it. And third, the influence of it. And it came to pass the same night. What night is that? That is after that day of which we have spoken together, when we have seen Gideon, when the Lord has appeared unto Gideon, and the Lord has called Gideon, and the Lord has sent him that he may be the deliverer of his own people. And then he gives unto Gideon power. He gives unto Gideon authority that is from himself. That is not what Gideon has to give himself. No, but that is what the Lord gives unto Gideon for a special work that he has to do to deliver his own people. God's people, they have brought themselves into a great distress by their sin. That is what we do. That is what happened in paradise. And we have brought ourselves into a great distress by our sin. Do we ever feel that? Do we ever feel that? The great distress that we have brought ourselves into because we have so much. We have so much prosperity, and we try to make this world into a paradise here below, a little heaven upon the earth. We have a beautiful house, we have a beautiful car, we have all these blessings from the Lord. Oh, then you say we are not sitting in the ghetto. There are many people that are, and that they have nothing to eat, and they have not sufficient clothing to put on in a house, children, young people. But now, do we ever feel the depth of the misery that we have brought ourselves into? That is the misery of our soul. That we are traveling over this world with a never-dying soul. That we have a short journey between the cradle and the grave. That we have a heart that is full, that is completely full of sin. Did we ever cry unto the Lord out of our misery? It took 7 years, we heard that. 7 years before that cry was heard. by the Lord from the children of Israel. And then, when that cry came up, then the Lord heard. We heard that the Lord, He was going to do something, and the Lord, He sent His angel. It was actually the Lord Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself in a bodily form that did come to speak and to send His choice, His own servant, to do His work. That was the day. And now what do we read? The same night, it came to pass in the same night, thus the Lord is coming again. The same night, the Lord is not waiting. No, the Lord is of great compassion for the distresses of His church. Oh, do they cry here and there among us? Do they cry in their inner chambers? Do they say, the Lord hath forgotten me? My God has forsaken me? Oh, that cannot be. No, the Lord, He is of great compassion, and the Lord does not allow His people to go one moment past that necessary time of affliction. David says, for Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy to all them that call upon Thee. That is the Lord. Are we so too? Plenteous in mercy. Because what does the Bible say? The Bible says that if our brother turn and repent 7 times in a day, 7 times in a day, you say you get tired after 3rd time, 4th time, 7 times in a day, that means continually. If he turn and repent, Thou shalt forgive him, not before he turn, not before he confess. No, that is not good for him, because we need to be brought there. All of us, we need to be brought there to the place of true repentance. And when a man may be brought in the place of true repentance and a true confession, then we need to be ready. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the 2nd bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place. Take the 2nd bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove, which thou shalt cut down. That is now what Gideon has to do. That is the first thing he has to do. What do you think of that, children? That's the first thing he has to do. You say, Gideon is sent to deliver the children of Israel. Why then is Gideon not sent to blow a trumpet first? Gather everybody together. Gather that army together. Oh, that is not the first thing. This is what has to come first. Not to fight against the Midianites first. The Lord has promised Gideon something. The Lord has said, Gideon, I am going to deliver the children of Israel by your hand. But first, that altar of Baal must be thrown down. What does the Lord do? The Lord begins at the beginning. The Lord begins at the beginning. And the first trouble is not that enemy. No, the first trouble, he says, that is yourselves. The first trouble, the Lord says, is that you have left me. The first thing that has to be done is that that altar of Baal to whom you have now gone, whom you have trusted, who could not help you when you cried to him to deliver you from your enemies, then you need to acknowledge, before me that you have left, that you desire to leave this worship of these idols. The Lord is jealous. The Lord is jealous. Says, you cannot pretend to serve me with my name in your lips, and you have an idol there to Baal. No, he says, that is not the way that I am going to deliver you. How is a congregation that the Lord is inviting men unto himself? Because the Lord calls men. When we are under the preached word, does not call every man in this world. No, there are many outside of the church that never hear the calling of the word. Those are called by nature, but they are not called through that word. How does the Lord now call through that word? He calls only in the way of repentance. In the way of repentance. You will say the Lord calls men to come unto him just as they are. What do you mean, just in the way of repentance? He calls to come as they are, as a sinful man, as a sinful creature. Do we then have to cleanse ourselves before that we come unto the Lord? Is not that the reason that a man is called to come unto the Lord? Oh, it certainly is. Oh, it certainly is. That is so such a precious doctrine, isn't it? Isn't it? Oh, that the Lord is calling a leper. A leper. The lepers, they could not cure themselves. That the Lord, he cures a blind man. He has no power. Oh, what precious doctrines. When a man, he finds himself, he is convinced of the wretchedness and the depth of his fall, and who is not able to change himself, that the Lord is inviting such ones to come as they are, is that not a precious doctrine? And yet, what does the devil do? The devil likes to take the most precious things that belong to God's people, and he likes to turn them upside down. He likes to use them that they may be for the deceiving of persons upon their journey to eternity. To think that Christ, he is delivering his people from their sins, and at the same time allowing them to go on in their sin. That is, congregation, simply not true. No, that is to separate two things that belong together and can never be separated from one another. What are those two things? That is justification and sanctification. Because if we desire to be justified and do not desire to be sanctified, that means we desire the right to salvation, but we do not desire the beginning of it. That is contradictory, isn't it? if we do not desire the beginning of salvation, if we do not desire to be delivered from our sin, why would we desire the right to it? We do not even desire it at all. No, when the Lord is inviting to Himself, then He is inviting men in the way of repentance. There is no forgiveness of sin without repentance. Throw down the altar of Baal and build an altar unto the Lord thy God. That is a point of doctrine, young people. Shall we talk just a moment about doctrine? Or do you say we don't like to talk about doctrine? Luther, when Luther was delivered, it was by doctrine. That is why Luther, he said, doctrine is heaven. Oh, how important, how necessary that it is that we are holding on to doctrine. And what is now that doctrine? You say, minister. You make repentance into a condition. Into a condition. Is then repentance a condition unto salvation? What do you say about that, young people? Maybe you have heard the discussions, because for many years they have been, that issue has been discussed, argued on this side and argued on that side. Many useless discussions bring no profit to the soul of a man. How much talk that we can have that brings no fruit? Then it depends what we mean by a condition. It's becoming winter, young people. You need now to be careful, because that road can be slippery, right? And if you hit someone because of ice on that road, you say to the officer, well, that was not my fault, because it was because of that ice. Then he get a ticket anyway. And why? Well, he says the ice was not the cause. No, you were the cause. What was the ice? The ice was a condition. That was there. And when that ice is there, you must be more careful. That is right. You are the cause, not the ice. So there is a difference between a cause and a condition. And now repentance. Repentance and faith. We ask you that question. Do they need to be there? Can a man be saved from his sin without repentance? Without repentance. Can that be? That's impossible. Can he be delivered from his sin without faith? You say that cannot be. Because the Bible that says that it is through faith. That is right. Repentance and faith. They have to be there. And if they have to be there, that means they are either a cause or a condition. Are they causes? Does repentance cause the deliverance of his people? Is faith a cause? You will say no. You will say no, they are not causes. The Lord is the cause. That is right. It is a one-sided work. If they are not causes, then they must be conditions. Thus, repentance. Repentance. Throw down the altar. Throw down that altar. That is the first thing that the Lord says that the children of Israel need to do. Throw down the altar of Baal and build an altar unto the Lord. You say we need more than doctrine. Yes, we do. Do you know what we need? We need to experience doctrine in our heart. That is what happened with Luther. So we ask you this question. Now, it is not just about mere doctrine that we might know it, but did we ever experience that doctrine in our heart? Throw down that altar of Baal. I will ask the Lord's people today, what happened in regeneration? You say, I do not know the day. If it is right with me, I do not know the day. Well, I will only ask you this question then. Do you remember this in your life? This. Throw down the altar of Baal, and I will build an altar unto the Lord. Did that ever live in your heart? Because that is now what happens in regeneration. Then that doctrine is experienced, even if you are just a little child. Oh, then you say you want to throw down that altar of Baal. Then you want to leave all the world behind you and all the service of the world behind you. And you want to do nothing but serve the Lord. There's experience. Then you say, I do not know the day of my regeneration, but then you know the fruit of it. Oh, then you know the fruit of it in your life. And that is now what we need to know. Throw down the altar of Baal, and build an altar unto the Lord. That is now the command of the Lord. That is an altar that was dedicated unto Baal with what is called an Asherah on it. That was some kind of a wooden pillar unto that god Asherah. And that altar was there for serving for two purposes, or actually one purpose, to the two main gods of the Canaanites, built by the Israelites, to the gods of the Canaanites. So only the time of Joshua, very short time after the Lord delivered them, brought them through that Jordan, gave them that land of Israel, and they now have an altar. Altar unto the gods of the Canaanites. And now they have to throw that down first. It is not allowed to stand one moment alongside of the altar of the Lord. First that altar comes down, and then you are to build an altar unto me. And the wood of the grove, and probably also that pillar unto the Asherah that is to be used to burn that sacrifice unto the Lord, a 7-year-old bullock. 7-year-old bullock. That is according to those 7 years that the enemy, the Lord has permitted that enemy to oppress the children of Israel. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. What is that? That is the obedience of Gideon. A ready obedience. What courage that it took Gideon. Why? Because of the forces and that were against him. What do we read? That he feared his father's household and the men of the city. They were idolatrous Israelites. And now his own family, his own brethren, his own father's house, they had joined these idolatrous Israelites, and his own father. His own father, Joash. He was a magistrate. You say, did he really want to serve those idols? We don't know. But we know that he had that altar built. So if it was not really, truly in the bottom of his heart, then he was a weak man. Because then he did it out of fear of the people. That's the work of reformation. That is not an easy work. That is not easy when it has to be in our own heart, is it? Do we ever think about that? I need to change my life. Do we ever think about that? I need to change my life. And how to do it? Now, that is not easy. Why? Because there are forces in our life. There are forces in our heart. That is Satan himself. That is our flesh. That fights against such a reformation within us. Then it needs strength to stand. And then if that has to come in a family, if that has to come in a church, if that has to come in a country, then it is ever more difficult. And yet Gideon goes forward in obedience to the Lord. Where did Gideon get that courage? You say, what a courageous man. Wait a moment. We just saw him. Doing what? Hiding. Such a courageous man? No. Not Gideon. Where does he get that courage from? Oh, we heard it. The Lord has come to him. The Lord has called him. The Lord has endued him with power, with authority. Gideon feels that. That is now the strength. That is not the strength of Gideon, though. That is the strength of the Lord, whereby Gideon may go forward. Gideon goes forward by faith. Gideon goes forward in the strength of God. Gideon goes forward without the fear of men. Oh, you say he feared the men of his own household. Yes, that was not for his life. But Gideon knew that he may not be able to do it to finish that task. He was afraid if he did it during the day, well, then everyone would see it. Soon they would stop. They have to destroy that whole grove. They have to break down that altar that is unto Baal. Thus he uses the means. Thus he goes by night, takes 10 men of his servants. And in the same night, he throws down the altar of Baal and cuts down the grove that is by it. Oh, what do you think lived in his heart? What do you think lived in his heart? When he may use his own hands and take that altar of Baal and throw it down to the ground. Then there is in his heart a righteous indignation against the sin that has destroyed his people. A righteous indignation. And so he throws down that altar. And what do you think lived in his heart? When he may, according to the word of the Lord, build now. Build now an altar. Altar unto the Lord. Oh, the tenderness in the heart of that man with a desire for the good of his people, that he may now lead them away from that all that will destroy them, and that he may lead them back again unto that service of the Lord. Let us sing Psalter 127. 1, 2, and 3. God will our strength and refuge prove in all distress of present aid. And though the trembling earth remove, we will not fear nor be dismayed. 127, 1, 2, and 3. Gideon's reformation in Israel, first, the necessity of it, second, the resistance to it. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. See the fierceness of the opposition to this reformation. They did not know who did it. And so it says, they inquired. They inquired. What do you think? Should they have inquired? What business did they have to inquire? What difference does it make who has done it? But that altar is laying there. And that altar that was laying there, that was a testimony against that people. It was laying there scattered on the ground. And these are Israelites, and they know better. And their consciences are speaking. They go to inquire. Then they do the wrong thing. Then they should have turned within. Then they should have said, what have we done? It doesn't matter who has thrown it down. It should have humbled that people. It should have brought that people to a confession of their sin. And it did the opposite. They're so angry, they are ready to kill him. Bring out thy son that he may die, because he has cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. They have already sentenced him to death. He does not get a trial. He may not speak for himself. They do not ask the reason. They know the reason. They know the reason. They don't want to hear the reason. What a thing it was. Israel. Israel. Condemning a man that has destroyed the altar of Baal. What is now the first work of Gideon in his reformation? That is not to build up. Just the opposite. It is to break down. And that is now the hardest work. We do not read that these Israelites had any resistance to building an altar unto the Lord. Don't read that. You may build 1,000 altars unto the Lord. Because by that altar unto the Lord, then we still have some kind of a semblance of truth, still kind of a semblance of the worship of that true God. But they say that he may die because he hath cast down the altar of Baal and because he has cut down the grove that was by it. Oh, to break down the idols of our hearts incurs a great wrath inside of our heart. Then we get angry. Oh, just think about the Roman Catholic Church. There is a semblance. It's called Christian. Our fathers, they called them Antichrist. Christian. But do not touch their altar. Do not touch the Mass. because then you will incur a great wrath. What are now those idols that live in our hearts? That if anyone would not touch, that would bring out all the evil that lives in our hearts. But we have to keep going. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death whilst it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Congregation, that is our third thought. What a great change in this man. The influence of the Reformation of Gideon. And we see that immediately. Why? Because of Gideon? No. Because the Lord sent Gideon. Because the Lord called Gideon. Because the Lord is going with Gideon. And so there is fruit upon what Gideon is doing. And where does the Lord begin? In his own father, Joash, the Abiezrite. Who was that man? He was a worshiper of Baal. He was a worshiper of Asherah, at least in an outward show. And if not, with all his heart, then he showed himself to be a very weak man for the service of the Lord. Now it all changes. All changes. Say the influence. What happens? What do we read here? The Bible speaks about all that stood against him. There is no timidity in Joash now. No, he stands against a great, great wrath. And he stands for what? The Lord. The service of the Lord. And he is ready to challenge all of his opposers. Was not Luther ready to do the same thing? Do we not hear, do we not read of him standing all alone? He says, here I stand upon this truth against that whole church. I cannot do otherwise. So help me God. That is not Luther's strength. That was the strength of the Lord. Luther called. And sent by the Lord. And now what does the bride say in the Song of Solomon? She says, draw me, we will run after thee. Thus she says, O Lord, draw me. Or if I may only be drawn, oh, then others also will be drawn along with me. That is now the influence that bride desires. And we see that here. We see that here in the father of Gideon, that the Lord uses those simple means, that this man, his heart is changed. And we see that possibly also in his servants. 10 men, they are ready to follow him. We do not know how it was in those servants. Maybe they have never bowed their knee to Baal. Maybe they were always true. But it could also easily be that the Lord has influenced those servants, that he has drawn them away from all their, at least, laxity in that service of the Lord, to return again unto the Lord. Oh, sin. Sin has such great influence. Do you believe that, fathers and mothers? We give those telephones to our children. Oh, do we realize the influence that is coming over them? The sin. The influence that it has upon our youth. Do we also put up walls for them? Do we also try to protect them? That is our responsibility. And not only them, but also ourselves. Sin, that is such great influence. But so does godliness. So does godliness. Oh, the Lord uses that. The Lord uses it for the conversion of His people, of His church. We can read it in the Word of God. We read that those that are wise, they shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And those that turn many unto righteousness as the stars forever and forever. That turn many unto righteousness. Is that our life? Is that our conversation? That it may turn a man. Oh, if it was one man. Do we say, oh Lord, draw me from the carnality of my own life, from the carnality of my own heart, from my own worldliness, that something may go out of me, that others also may be drawn to thee? Will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? If Baal is a god, why cannot Baal save himself? Does he then need to be saved by you? If he be a god, let him plead for himself. Because one hath cast down his altar, or how blind is an idolatrous man. That is what Satan has done. Satan has said, children, your eyes shall be opened, but our eyes have gone closed. He is the liar from the beginning. Then these people cannot even see. They have not seen that over so many years when they have cried to him, to Baal, hear us. Could not deliver them from the Midianites. And now one has cast down his altar. And what happens to him? Nothing. There is no judgment. You still do not see it. Oh, how blindly mad is an idolatrous man. Does Joash really need to instruct the people in this? They should see this with their own heart. But now, faith. Faith that is born in this heart of Gideon. And now Gideon becomes an instructor of his fellow idolaters. He had worshipped Baal with them. He had built the altar for them. And now the Lord, he works in Gideon. And now the Lord, then Gideon, or in Joash, and Joash begins to teach others. Think about Saul of Tarsus. Oh, what has he written of that holy word of God? And he says, I am the least of the apostles, and I'm not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted that church of God. The Lord turns the heart. And when the Lord turns the heart, then the eyes go open. Then they begin to see. Then they are changed. And then there is reform. Then there is something that is flowing out of that work of God. Will ye plead for Baal? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death whilst it is yet morning. What a wonder. Would that it would be so in our own land, here in Alberta, in Canada, in the United States of America, that our magistrates will be touched in their heart. That is all we need. That is all we need. Oh, the power of the Lord, even in answer to prayer by the meek of his people, that can turn the hearts of the highest in the world. And then it becomes different. Then suddenly there is judgment. Then suddenly there is judgment. Justice. Suddenly there is equity, and he is ready to stamp out all the iniquity that is taking place in that land. The magistrate of that land. Oh, what a powerful influence of that Spirit of the Lord. Oh, see that faith of that man that is so strong. Do you know what he does? He makes a dare. Do you do that sometimes to young people? You should not do that. To make a dare. That is very wrong. It's also very dangerous. When one boy says to another boy, I dare you to do that. And when he tries that and he gets hurt, do you understand that is your own fault, right? Never do that. Then you are responsible for that. Then you have to give an answer. But now that dare that Joash does here, that is different. Do you know what he does? He dares Baal. He dares Baal to do what? To kill his son. Therefore, on that day, he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him. Because he hath thrown down his altar. He dares him. He says, Baal, if you are a god, kill my son. Go ahead. Kill Gideon for throwing down your altar. And he gives to Gideon that very name. It says, Jerubbaal. That means, let Baal contend. So he memorializes his dare in his son, that Gideon will live with that dare the rest of his life. Thus Gideon becomes a living memorial of the lie of idolatry. That if Baal existed, Gideon should be dead. And as long as Gideon is alive, then it is evident that Baal does not exist. Congregation, Reformation Day in Israel needs to begin at the beginning. Oh, we should have reformation every day in our life. That is true. There is no excuse for us for that. Are we not so guilty in that? But that reformation, when we will begin now at the beginning, then we have to look to see what are the idols that are living in our hearts. What are the idols that we serve? What are the idols that you serve, young people? Young fathers, mothers? Do you like to serve the idol of alcohol? How many persons has it brought to destruction? Do we serve adultery? Do we live in such outward wickedness in this world? Manasseh, the Lord brought him into the prison for his wickedness. And when the Lord converted that man in the prison, the Lord brought him back, and then there was a reformation. All that begins in the heart. And then out of the heart that is flowing something. But maybe it is not so outwardly visible. But it is just a service of this world rather than the service of the Lord. And we can leave the Lord alone. We can leave him in his place where he has ascended on high. And just be concerned always and to be seeking everything that is passing away in the midst of this world. That is our service. Oh, we trust in these things. We build up an amount of money, and we trust that that will bring us through the rest of our life. That is what we read in the Bible. Oh, there are some idols, they are so outward, but there are others that are more subtle. What is that great idol that we all serve? Is that not the idol of ourselves? Is that not always to put myself in the foreground? Do we ever grieve about that idol, that big I, that is living within our hearts? Do you know what Job said? He said, if you can bring down the pride of a man, I will confess that thy own right hand can save thee. That is how ingrained that pride is in our hearts. Oh, let us ask the Lord to break that down. What do we look for? A man can serve his ease. He looks just to be restful in this life. Ease, eat, drink, take thine ease. A congregation, we are living in a sin-cursed world. And for God's children, it is not going to be ease. No, it will be a life of trial. It will be a life of tribulation. All that ease is what the Lord is going to give his people. Then it is not for the service of ease and the seeking of ease, no. But the seeking of the Lord. Oh, so subtle. Saul of Tarsus, what was his idol? It was his very religion. He did not serve the Lord. He was a Pharisee. 3 years, the Lord Jesus has testified against him. It never entered his heart. And then he ascended. And then he spoke to him in his exaltation. And then he brought him to the ground. Then it's a wonder. It was a wonder for him. That the Lord, he did not do away with him altogether. But the Lord has cast down his idol. The idol even of his religion. Oh, how subtle, isn't it? Our own religion can be our idol. Oh, then we need to ask the Lord, open my eyes that I may see. And that we may be given truly to cast down that altar of Baal and to build an altar unto the Lord. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, may thou thyself break down our idols and the altars to our idols, that we might learn to serve thee alone. Then thou canst deliver us from all our enemies, the enemy of sin that does fight against thy people, threatening to bring them into that everlasting abyss. Oh, forgive our sins. Wash us and cleanse us in the precious and all-atoning blood of thy dear Son. Wilt thou bring us safely home? Help each one in the week that lies before us, in all the labors of our hands in the midst of this world. Oh, give that truth in our hearts that brings us to thy footstool in our inner chamber before thee. Take us not away by a sudden and an unprepared death to stand before our judge unexpectedly, but that we might seek and find a surety for our own souls, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 86, 1, 2, and 3. Let all the earth Jehovah fear. Let all that dwell both far and near in awe before him stand, in what follows in 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 86. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.